Again, 212-209-2950. That's the number to call. You can pay by Visa, MasterCard, American Express. You can do electronic funds transfer. You can ask us to send you a bill, whatever works. You can even bring in a bag of cash and just plunk it down on the counter. We'll take it. 212-209-2950. Please call, pledge your support. Make WBAI a priority in your life because you are the priority in ours. 212-209-2950. Thank you and good night.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI New York. It's 7:02. Time once again for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse.
Very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening. And do you hear that noise? You can just barely hear that noise. Let me introduce the fellow studio people here. Mike over there and
hello,
Redbird.
Good evening.
We're trying to get Bernie. We don't know where he is.
Jim has been MIA as well.
Jim's MIA and other people are wandering around the studio helping with the fundraiser. But that noise is the sound of... The sound of a brain machine.
Which it's a disappointing noise.
Currently have, that's
come
a what?
Come on, take your windscreen off and let them hear it.
Well, if I take the windscreen off, I have to, all right, kill some time while I do this.
Well, you know, I don't know how we can
turn
kill
the microphone
time.
Off before I do this.
Oh, I hear the wind now.
Okay. There you go.
There you go.
All right, let's take a listen to this for a second. Sounds pretty spacey, huh? You guys want to tell us what we're listening to?
We're trying to... Am I turned up?
I think so.
All right. We're trying to hypnotize our listeners, basically.
If they're listening to us, they're already hypnotized enough.
All right. Well, they're listening to a brain machine.
And we're going to have details in the hour ahead on how you, too, can obtain your own brain machine through this program and no other. So stay tuned. We have a special guest who's going to talk all about it. And at the end of this hour, you could find yourselves the proud owner of a brain machine, which can be used to enhance your brain, correct?
To be clear, you won't have it at the end of the hour, but you'll have title to it.
Yeah, there's no way, no shipping agency in the world that can ship that fast, but the wheels will be in motion, and you will soon have it, and you'll be helping us as well. Okay, so that's a hint of things to come during this hour. Let's talk about what's been going on throughout the course of the week in the exciting world that we live in. All sorts of fun things. I guess the biggest thing I talked about last night on the other radio show is something that I find to be extremely disturbing, and that is of course the story of a kid in England who's being charged under the Terrorism Act for having a copy of the Anarchist Cookbook and nothing else. This is it. This is all they are charging him with. That's if the news stories that we've been reading about this are to be believed.
Is that a banned book? Or are they not allowed to have them?
I wasn't aware of it being a banned book. So Someone stole my story. I had the story. Do you have it?
I have a copy.
Okay.
Well, it's my copy. You can't have it.
But I had another copy. You know, someone came in here and took it. So they're trying to keep the story off the air. But
it says that the teenager, who I guess we don't know his name because he's just the teenager, he faces two charges under the Terrorism Act 2000. The first charge relates to the possession of material for terrorist purposes, and the second relates to the collection or possession of information useful in the preparation of an act of terrorism.
That is scary. Yeah. Now, is that an act that was passed in 2000, or is it just called the Terrorism Act 2000?
Maybe they wanted to seem very futuristic. I don't know.
Well, okay. So the question then is there more to this story?
Well, how did they find out that he had it? I mean, they didn't go through his house, I'm assuming.
I think we've read everything that has been published on it.
Well,
I haven't seen anything else. It's very hard to search when you don't know the person's name. And this was on the BBC as of yesterday, I believe.
Yeah, it got also got picked up by some of the wire services. But
Can I have this story for a second? Because I'm very perturbed that my story disappeared. okay, so basically he had a 40-minute hearing. And this is funny. They describe him as standing in the dock wearing a baggy blue hooded top, and he only spoke to confirm his name and date of birth. And there's a second 17-year-old facing similar charges who has already been remanded in custody, and they're both going to have court dates or hearings on the 25th of October. And that's really about all we know about this. Now, Mike, you discovered something interesting about this story through Google News. What did you find out?
Yeah, I was trying to find out about this story, so I typed, you know, anarchist cookbook into the Google News land. And this story came up. It says, boy, quote, plotted to kill, unquote, BNP members. And the BNP is the British National Party, which is this sort of extreme right-wing nutcase party in the UK.
Uh-huh.
But when you click it, you just get the story we just were looking at, and it doesn't say anything about plotting to kill BNP members. So
very strange. It's,
yeah.
It's again, revisionism that you see in online news reporting, where a particular story might contain an error, and then all references to it in the future have the error omitted, so the error never occurred. But in this particular case, through Google News, you were able to see what might have been the error, and it points to the story with the error omitted.
Unless there's an error in Google News.
Well, that's never happened before.
it's just doublespeak.
It's yeah. Very mysterious.
So we'd like to know if anyone out there has any more information on this story. But assuming that you guys over in England actually have banned this book, so that if you're caught with the anarchist cookbook, you're considered a terrorist, has it really reached that stage? That's what we need to know. And if it has reached that stage, we here in the United States are prepared to help you by shipping over massive amounts of copies of the anarchist cookbook, which you can get online very easily. You can buy it. You can probably download it. And we have every intention of making sure that it's plastered all over any country that treats people like this for actually having something interesting to read.
Do we need to explain what the anarchist cookbook is?
I think we might, and that would give Redbird a chance to try Bernie one more time. So you explain, and he's going to dial.
I was just going to say it's a book from the 60s which contains rudimentary bomb-making instructions.
That's not all it contains, though. It contains all kinds of mischief-making.
I don't know. I've never read it.
Uh-huh.
But that's what it's famous for.
Why haven't you read it? Are you afraid to read it?
I just have never needed to make a bomb.
Uh-huh.
And apparently some of the instructions in it aren't that good. You're more likely to kill yourself than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Well, I don't think anyone's saying that this is something that you need to follow what it tells you, the information that it tells you, and build the things. It's just, it's kind of like the acid test of free speech, the Anarchist Cookbook. And it's survived lo these many decades, and now it looks like we live in a different world. And no luck?
Not too much.
Oh, wow. So both Bernie and Jim are MIA this week. It's very, very strange and unsettling. But on the topic of things that changed, did you notice that this week we had an editorial about WBAI in the New York Times? New York Times editorialized about this radio station.
What did they say? Shut it down?
No, surprisingly enough. They seem to actually think we should keep going, doing what we're doing. Let me just read you. It's a very brief editorial. At the height of his bardic powers, Allen Ginsberg could terrify the authorities with the mere utterance of the syllable Om as he led street throngs of citizens protesting the Vietnam War. Ginsberg reigned as the raucous poet of American hippiedom and as a literary pioneer whose freewheeling masterwork, Howl, prevailed against government censorship in a landmark obscenity trial 50 years ago. It is with a queasy feeling of history and retreat that poetry lovers discover that WBAI, long the radio flagship of cocky resistance to government excess. That's a good thing to put after our call letters, I think. WBAI, long the radio flagship of cocky resistance to government excess. I think we should just initiate that, you know, as our legal ID.
I think we could do that.
All right.
WBAI New York, the flagship of cocky resistance.
Yeah, that makes it legal because you have to say WBAI New York. Anyway, they discovered that WBAI decided last week that it couldn't risk a 50th anniversary broadcast of the late poet's recording of Howl. The station retreated out of fear that the Federal Communications Commission would levy large obscenity fines that might bankrupt the small-budget station. Small-budget station. Keep that in mind when we ask for your help in a few minutes. The retreat was hardly an exercise of the sort of rhetorical paranoia that listeners rate as part of the charm of WBAI, an outlet with a brave history in broadcasting such free speech as George Carlin's comedic Seven Dirty Words. No, this time the broadcaster had to be mindful that the FCC had already fined CBS $550,000 for its absurd nanosecond telecast of Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction. Stations are rightly worried these days that airing fleeting expletives can cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars a pop. The result is a growing tendency towards self-censorship. WBAI is hardly alone in flinching. Public broadcasting stations already are editing Ken Burns' new documentary on World War II, eliminating pungent four-letter talk from the eyewitness accounts of G.I. Joe. Yeah, we can talk about blowing limbs off, but God forbid you say a word that some right-wing person might not like.
Or and the video people too. The video footage is more likely more offensive than anything else, right?
You'd think.
The language.
You would think.
I don't think it's really about wings. It's more about, mm-hmm. you know, crazy.
It's about closed-mindedness is what it's about. It's about wanting it your way or no way. And unfortunately, you know, not everybody speaks in a nice 1950s Pleasantville dialect. Anyway, finishing off here, if Ginsberg were still with us, he would undoubtedly pen a mocking line or two about his poem being banned from the airwaves 50 years after it was ruled not to be obscene. Congress, of course, could redress the FCC's bullying powers if it wanted to, but lately the Capitol's most energetic broadcast agenda has been conservative members organizing against any attempt to restore the fairness doctrine to political broadcast, which could crimp the 24/7 rants of right-wing talk radio. The poet would understand, having once noted, whoever controls the media, the images, controls the culture. Sounds very much like what Jello says about the media and how you have to sort of do it yourself. Otherwise you're controlled by others. And, yeah, it's a very sad thing. And, you know, there's a lot that's really not being talked about that I think should be talked about insofar as this particular case. And, yeah, it's true what's said here that we here at the station decided not to air this because we could face a $325,000 fine per word uttered. And there are quite a few words in that poem.
Which would basically just shut the station down.
It would shut the station down permanently. And, yeah, you can say we're cowards for not challenging the FCC. But consider, if you challenge the FCC and you lose, you've lost a whole lot more. So maybe this is the way to get the issue out there by making this into a story, by talking about the fact that that we feel cowed into not airing something that we normally should air, that we actually do have some self-censorship here, which I've seen at every radio station I've been affiliated with. If the FCC says you'll get in trouble if you do this, the station tends to do even less than that because they really, really don't want to get into trouble with the FCC.
Now, what's the timeline for this sort of censorship? I mean, did it start after the CBS incident, or was it before that? Or I mean, when did this all start?
It always was a little bit unclear. I mean, indecency and obscenity and profanity have been pretty clearly defined. You can go to the FCC webpage and see all kinds of things about what's obscene, what's indecent, what's profane, and what's protected and what is not. However, when the Janet Jackson incident happened, that's when all kinds of nonsense started to occur. Fines got increased tenfold, and there was no real clear-cut set of rules as to what was allowed and what was not. So basically, you had to err on the side of caution.
And of course, none of this is a coincidence. The timing, it has nothing really to do with Janet Jackson per se, mm-hmm. as this really conservative FCC commissioners that the president has put in there.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's, you know, a sign perhaps of the larger shifts in our culture.
We do have to fight this, obviously, and I think fighting it by getting it into the news is one way to do it, by making sure people realize that a work of art is being quelled because of the fear that pervades the industry. But it's also important to note one thing here. The FCC is not so clear as to what would happen if we were to air this program, say, at this hour. However, the FCC is very clear insofar as establishing what's known as a safe harbor from the hours of 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. in the local time of wherever the transmitter happens to be. So that would be Eastern time here. So, yes, it's pretty clear that we could air this program between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. and not face any possible consequence, because it was clearly not obscene. The court case proved that. And the FCC is quite clear as to what is permitted. Indecent broadcasting is permitted. Profane speech is prohibited between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m., meaning profane speech is allowed between 10 a.m. and 6 a.m., provided it's not obscene. And, to be obscene, you have to meet three conditions. An average person applying contemporary community standards must find that the material as a whole appeals to the prurient interest. Would anybody like to say what the prurient interest is? No?
Guess not.
Okay. So nobody knows what that means. But the material must depict or describe in a patently offensive way sexual conduct specifically defined by applicable law. And the material taken as a whole must lack serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. Yeah, good luck saying the last one, just the last one about a work by Allen Ginsberg. It'll never fly. So obviously it's not obscene. And plus you have the court case that said directly this is not obscene 50 years ago. So that would not be a problem. You could air this between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. The Pacifica Board of Directors or people in charge have decided not to do this. So this is an example of us being even more cautious than the FCC. Totally understandable during these particular primetime hours, but overnight, not as understandable. And that's something that I think we should continuously question. But at the same time, understand that these people are acting with the interest of the network, the interest of the station, and it's a tough job. So it's easy to offer criticism, but it's a hard job to do. But it's also very important that we continue discussing it. So yeah, times are changing. Times have changed. And whether it's this, whether it's anything else that involves self-censorship, we have to always realize when it's going on. Okay, we have with us on the phone, not Bernie S., right?
He's not. We do not have Bernie.
Right. We don't know where he is. But we do have Mitch Altman, the inventor of the TV Begon and the inventor of the aforementioned brain machine. Mitch, you're joining us from the Bay Area?
Hello there.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great.
I'm sure you've encountered many instances of self-censorship and changing society over the years.
I'm not so sure about self-censorship on my account, but
not on your account. No.
The media is very good at self-censorship. That's one of the prime ways of keeping the media in line.
Absolutely, the media that won't dare to take chances is one that you don't have to worry about if you're in charge.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting. I'm reading Naked Lunch right now by William Burroughs.
We couldn't read that over the air.
No, you can't. But the afterword had an interesting quote that I just read yesterday, which is somewhat apropos here. It's talking about, it had a whole bunch of obscenity trials. And the last one was in 66. And the court, the high court, I'll quote here, it said that the novel possessed redeeming social value, therefore was not obscene, and it marked the end of overt literary censorship in the United States. If only that were true.
Uh-huh. It's true. So tell us something about what you've been up to lately. I know we're going to be seeing you in Austin at the Maker Faire just about a week from now.
Yeah, I'm getting ready for the Maker Faire. I've got a workshop I'm going to be giving where people will be able to make their own brain machines, and a bunch of other cool things that I have parts for that people can build and take home, cool things they can build out of microcontrollers. So the brain machine is, it's not exactly my invention. It's sort of an innovation of mine.
Uh-huh.
These things have existed for a long time, actually since the 30s. That's when people started measuring brain waves with EEG machines, electroencephalograms. And you've probably seen these things on old Hollywood movies with mad scientists where a little pen goes back and forth and draws squiggly lines on moving paper.
We're about to turn the brain machine on. Hang on one second while we get it on the air here. There it is. Okay, that's the sound of the brain machine. Can you hear that, Mitch?
I can hear it barely.
Okay, over the phone it might be a little difficult, but do you think this might drive people crazy if they're listening in the car or...
No, it shouldn't drive anybody crazy, but if you're driving in a car now, you're probably being driven crazy just by driving.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And also, there are a pair of glasses with rapidly flashing red light. So the person puts this on their head, they hear this sound, and what happens?
Yeah, well, it's pulsing sound and light at brainwave frequencies. And if I were to measure you or anyone going into a 10-minute meditation, that's the program that I have in the microcontroller playing back that sequence of brainwave frequencies through pulsing light and sound. And the odd thing is, if you see that pulsing light and hear that sound, your brain synchronizes to those frequencies and you actually experience that sequence. So you experience a 10-minute meditation, which is what I had in the Make Magazine article.
So listeners should not be concerned if, in fact, they're not syncing with the machine right now because they don't have the thing in front of their eyes.
Yeah, you won't be able to do it unless you're actually wearing the thing. You either need headphones or the lights in front of your eyes, or both is even better.
Okay, well, I can see the lights across the room, and I can certainly hear the noise, and I just imagine that maybe people are getting something out of this.
We're also only playing one channel, and as I understand it, the difference, the difference between the two, the right speaker and the left speaker, is what actually causes the effect.
Yeah, that's why you need to have headphones on.
Yeah, this is just a small taste of what goes on here. And it certainly is a great thing to have for parties or for just various get-togethers. I entertain people with this all the time, and everybody wants to try it out, and everybody gets something really kind of cool out of it. The life of the party, just having this.
Yeah, it's been really fun bringing it to parties, and it's such a geeky thing, and yet you bring it to a party. Oh, and one other thing, too, I put these really wild, bizarre retro graphics on the lenses, which have nothing to do with anything except that it looks really cool.
Yeah.
And you can see the blinking lights from the outside, and when someone is wearing these and experiencing it, they usually have this really interesting little smile on their face. So when anyone in the party goes by and sees this person with the blinking lights and the weird graphics and that little smile, they go, "What the bleep is going on here?" And then, of course, they want to try it.
Well, try sitting on a bench in Tompkins Square Park at around 4 o'clock in the afternoon wearing one of these and having it blink and see what kind of reaction people. Of course, you're not aware of the reaction because you're so deep into this world that you don't see what's going on, which is why it's always good to have somebody with you. If you're in a public situation, well, don't bring this to the airport. I wouldn't
well,
turn
actually,
it on.
Actually, I've had it at the airport, and I was letting people try it on the way back from Berlin.
I'm surprised we haven't read about you in the newspaper for this.
Yeah, well, everyone wants to try it, you know, walking by, and it's really fun. So one other really cool bonus of the whole thing is that your visual cortex is being stimulated in a way that it's not used to. And so it doesn't know what to do with that information, so it does what it can to make sense of it, and it can't. So you hallucinate really wild, beautiful patterns and colors.
Interesting. Okay, so this does the noise change pattern after a few minutes?
Yeah, the noise and the blinking light frequency change to go with the programmed sequence, and in this case, it's a 10-minute meditation.
Okay, so in about, I guess, five or six minutes, this is going to change to a different sound.
Actually, it changes every so often, like every 10 or 30, 40, 50 seconds it changes,
uh-huh.
depending on where you are in the sequence.
Okay. I noticed the lights. The lights are blinking slower now, so that definitely did change. Well, in any event, I imagine we've gotten the curiosity of many of our listeners piqued at this point, wanting to know how they, too, can join in with this this growing crowd of people that play with these devices, which, by the way, are perfectly legal. This is not like taking drugs, although it is sort of like taking drugs, but it's not illegal is what I'm trying to get at.
We should caution, don't use it if you're prone to seizures.
Yes, please. That's a very important common sense thing there. You have rapidly blinking lights. And you don't want to take that kind of chance. But if you don't have that particular problem, then this is something that can really expand your mind in various ways in a completely legal and safe manner. Okay, so here's the deal. We have the fundraiser tonight to keep this radio station going so that we can continue to have these discussions, so we can continue to challenge things in the future and have the New York Times write editorials about us and various other things like that. It's a great place. It's an important place. It's a vital place. And it only stays alive because listeners like you call in every now and then and support us and pledge something to keep the place going. We don't have commercials. Other stations are run through commercials entirely. We have you. We have our listeners who call us, pledge whatever they can afford, and what we like to do is give you something back in return for that. Mitch has been kind enough to donate a whole bunch of these things, and what we have two different levels here for the brain machines. We have them in unassembled form. If you're somebody who's good at building kits and soldering things together, you can do what so many people have done at various hacker conventions and just assemble it yourself, or you can have us build it for you and send it to you. So 212-209-2950 for a pledge of $100, you will get one of the kits of the brain machine. For a pledge of $150, you will get a fully assembled brain machine. This is something that has never been offered before on this radio station. We've offered quite a lot of interesting and far out things. This is setting new boundaries, I think, even for us. 212-209-2950. Pledge $150, you'll get one of these things all assembled. All you have to do is stick it on your face and put the headphones on and turn the switch on, and you can dive into this world of what are some of the ways people have described it to you, Mitch?
Well, most people feel extremely relaxed when they use it, and afterwards, people have said, you know, it's really weird. I feel relaxed and yet invigorated at the same time. And that describes what you're supposed to feel if you're meditating. So that means that it actually worked for them. And people describe all sorts of different things that they experience while doing it. Most people see really beautiful colors and interesting kaleidoscopic patterns, mm-hmm. Sometimes mandalas. I see paisleys, but I'm weird. And some people see more representative kind of things, like hearts or geometric patterns. It's totally up to your subconscious what you'll experience.
212-209-2950. Join the callers already calling in and jump on this deal. $150, a fully assembled brain machine, or for $100 in kit form where you build it yourself. And it comes with instructions, I imagine, Mitch.
Yeah, it comes with instructions. It's in Make Magazine issue number 10, and thousands of people around the world have built this thing. It's been a very popular little project.
And you see them at hacker conferences, all kinds of people playing with these things. And, yeah, it really is it's something else. It's something to entertain people with and just, I guess, delve into an alternate realm of sorts. It's really, really pretty cool. 212-209-2950. We had three calls online. Now we have two, so I guess people are already grabbing the things. Oh, and I should also point out that with every pledge of $30 or above, you also get an off-the-hook T-shirt, and you can only get an off-the-hook T-shirt by pledging to Off the Hook. So if that's all you want, if all you want is the off-the-hook T-shirt, pledge $30 and you'll get that. But if you pledge $100, you'll get that, plus you'll get the kit of the brain machine. And if you pledge $150, you'll get an off-the-hook T-shirt and a fully assembled brain machine. Doesn't get any better than that.
Not that we don't want your money, but there's but there's something to be said about building one of these things yourself, you know, like electronic kits and neat projects and stuff like this that you build yourself and then you can show off to your friends. It's a really cool thing. And
it sure is.
places like the Maker Faire and hacker conferences where you see people doing this all the time. You know, it's just really cool to be able to show your friends something that you built.
But at the same time, we understand that there are people out there who either don't have the time to construct things like this, or who don't have the ability to solder and make sure everything is just right. For them, we make it easier for a little bit extra. We will do that for you. It's a challenge. We're ready. You see, this is more of a donation on our part because we're the ones that are going to be building the thing. So we're taking, for every one of you that pledges $150, that's some effort that we're going to have to expend. And we're happy to do it. We're happy to do it because it's something for the station to keep the station going. And it's also going to make your life much more enjoyable. These things aren't a crutch or anything like that. It's something recreational to try every now and then. And to see what your mind has to offer. 212-209-2950.
Yeah, it's really cool just to relax once in a while, just a minute or two, whatever, and just see what's inside. That's one of the reasons why I put this out into the world, is to give people a fun way to experience self-reflection, because unfortunately there's just not enough of that in our country at the moment.
Absolutely not. If there was a little bit more of that, maybe we wouldn't have the problems that we have. You know, if I saw George W. Bush with one of these around his head, just staring with a flashing red light, I don't know. I think I'd have a little bit more faith in him that actually he's not going to do something completely stupid. Maybe he'll actually think a little bit first, think about the possibilities.
Yeah, but he'd have him on backwards or something.
Probably true. Probably true. And he definitely would not be able to... certainly wouldn't be able to build them, probably wouldn't be able to even strap the things on properly.
Well, I did notice that one of the things, Mitch, that you've said and that I've seen happen is that people who've never built an electronics thing before have built this as sort of a first project. So don't be afraid.
Now, about how long does it take to build?
Yeah, that's one of the really cool things with this is it's just so intriguing that a lot of people, thousands of people, it's their first thing they've ever built. Not only of electronics, but anything. And so it takes like maybe 3.5 to 7 hours, depending on how nice you want it to look and what your skill level is. And so it's less than a day or less than a weekend, and you have this really cool thing. And that's also like one of the reasons why I've been going around at Maker Faires and hacker conferences teaching people how to build cool things. I really love the way people look when they're building things, mm-hmm. With their own two hands. It's like little kids playing with blocks or something. They just have this huge grin on their face, and, just time flies by, and it's just totally engaging and wonderful.
And they have the huge grin on their face before they even put the thing on. And after they put the thing on, they have an even bigger grin on their face. It's all about grins here, folks. Call us up, and the grinning will just begin for you. 212-209-2950. We have a bunch of calls already. And I should also point out, I've been asked to ask people calling in. We have a limited number of people down there. In fact, we have less than usual for some reason. So if you get a ringing phone that doesn't get picked up, don't give up. It just means that we're very busy down there. Call back. We're going to be offering this up until 8 o'clock. You got to call by then, 212-209-2950. That's our phone number. Again, the brain machine that we're discussing with the really awesome device that you won't find in any store, that's for sure, that you can basically put on your head and just dive into a whole other realm of consciousness. That is yours for a pledge of $150, fully assembled. For a pledge of $100, it comes to you in kit form, and you can construct it yourself. And for every pledge, 30 or above, you get an off-the-hook T-shirt that tells the world that you support Off the Hook here on WBAI. 212-209-2950. Give us a call. Support the radio station. Keep this place going. Keep this kind of dialogue and conversation going.
Of course, any amount that you can pledge really does help. If you can get the T-shirt at $30 or you want to pledge $50, or you're going to get the brain machine at $100 or $150, or if you can afford to pledge $3 million, then we'll play Howl. Whatever you can afford, your support really does help the station, really helps keep us going.
Would that even cover it? I mean, 325,000 times 10, that's 3.2 million. So if there's 10 profane words in Howl and we get fined for every single one of them, that would negate that pledge. That's what we're facing, people.
We'll have to count before we accept that pledge.
Five calls on the line, 212-209-2950. That might be more than we have people. I don't know. If there is a send an SOS if you need help, and we'll start running down the hallway to help answer the phones. 212-209-2950. The more calls, the better, obviously, and certainly it's good for us here at Off the Hook to know that there are people out there. That's really what it's all about, knowing that people are out there, that people care enough to speak up when something is wrong, speak up when something is interesting. That's what we've been broadcasting about since 1960 here in this place, and we hope to continue for many, many more decades. 212-209-2950. Mercy me, look at all those calls. Those people must be running around like crazy down there. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to the people in the tally room for making all the calls come in. Oh, look, it turned off. It turned off. That means the little trip is over.
No, we don't need to turn it back
on. Yeah, let's not turn it back on.
I'm going to turn it off.
Yeah, turn it off because you don't want to wear out the battery. What kind of battery does it run on, Mitch?
It runs on two AA's, and they last a long, long time. I built the first one in February. That's the one that's pictured in the magazine article.
Uh-huh.
And like maybe 3,000 people have tried it out, and the batteries are still fine.
3,000 people have tried out yours?
Yes.
My goodness.
Yeah, I've been all over the world with that thing, and at lots of parties and at cafes and airports, like I said. So, the batteries last a long time.
And to change them, I imagine, is pretty simple.
Yeah, it's just like changing a battery.
Okay, I can do that. That's about the extent of my kit building ability. But changing battery, that's all you have to do. And after 3,000 people have used it, it's really yeah.
And of course, it comes with batteries installed.
Of course, We wouldn't send one of these out without batteries.
Is this thing legal in Boston?
You know, it's probably legal to wear in Boston, but it's probably not legal to be seen wearing it in Boston because they'll think that you're a suicide bomber or something. Who knows what they think?
Yeah, don't wear it while you're going through security, I guess.
Yeah, if you can manage to subdue the temptation of having to wear these things all the time, that's a good time not to wear it. 212-209-2950, six calls on the line. Again, this is a very unique offering here. We want to thank Mitch for, A, being there just with all these cool things, and B, for being so generous by offering them to the station. And your calls, of course, are yet another sign of generosity, because by pledging to the radio station, you're helping to keep this place going and keep us on the air so that we don't fall victim either to the FCC or to the commercial wasteland out there that loves to swallow up radio stations. Believe me, this place would go for many tens of millions of dollars to somebody who wanted to program a different type of music to the city, or maybe even the same type of music to the city that all the other stations have. When you have a radio station on top of the Empire State Building that broadcasts to four different states, it's something else. It's powerful. It's expensive. It's valuable. And we are so lucky. I think we take this for granted lots of times. We are so lucky to have this place here, to be able to come in once a week, actually talk to people, do a radio show like this. It's a tremendous honor to be able to do this, and we're so happy that it exists. If it were not here, imagine all the stories you would not hear. Imagine all the things you wouldn't ever find out about. And imagine what would we do on Wednesday nights. You know, we'd have to find something else. It would be horrible. So this is not the same thing as just having a channel on the internet, which millions and millions of people can do, and great. It's good to have all sorts of variety on there. But to have a radio station where anybody can just turn on a radio, like people say, every car has a radio in it. Every car, you turn it on to 99.5 FM on Wednesday nights, you'll hear us. It's
that
simple. If
it's in the signal area.
Well, yeah, if you're in New York City, obviously, or if you're in Long Island or Connecticut or New Jersey or parts of Pennsylvania, you can turn on the radio and hear us. It's simply incredible. And you don't have to have any technical knowledge whatsoever. So, I mean, I think what I really enjoy the most is when people's grandmothers write in and say that they like listening to the radio show, because those are not people that you'll reach on the internet. They're not going to find you on particular websites and particular channels there. Those are people who turn on the radio and hear something totally by chance. Like I did when I was in Italy, I turned on the radio, I heard something totally by chance, and I played it on the other radio station, and it turned out to be this music that I'm really into now. And it's only by chance that I turned it on and heard this and found out what it was. So that's what I hope people do. They just are scanning around looking for something interesting. They find us and they can't get away. And tonight especially, if you turn on the radio and you can't get away, we would like it very much if you were to call us and pledge your support. 212-209-2950. Invest in the radio station and get a brain machine in return. Again, two levels, 100 for the kit form, 150 for fully assembled form. And every pledge 30 and above gets an off-the-hook T-shirt. And the Brain Machine is, would you say it's reached all four corners of the Earth now, Mitch?
Yeah, it's definitely been all over the planet, every continent with the exception perhaps of Antarctica.
Well, we can fix that.
You know anyone in Antarctica?
I can find out. We've gotten mail, right?
Yeah, we did an interview once with someone in Antarctica. Uh-huh. So
if you're in Antarctica or you know somebody in Antarctica, we might even send you one of these things just so that we can say it's made it to all seven continents. And if you know any astronauts, you can laugh. You can laugh if you want. But there are astronauts out there. They're real people like us. They have feelings. Occasionally they try to kill people. But they're human beings. They might be listening and they might say, hey, I'd like to try this thing out while I'm orbiting Earth, because then I'll be sort of orbiting Earth double over. And it'll be really quite a trip. 212-209-2950. If you know any astronauts, we'll certainly send them over there. And then we can say that it's outside the Earth as well.
And you can't bring drugs on the space station.
No. And this is not a drug.
Yeah.
This is not a drug. But it's a way of opening up your mind. And maybe people who are on submarines, who go way down below, maybe it'd be cool to have there as well.
Could be.
Mountain climbers.
The number again, 212-209-2950. Call and show your support, and we'll give you a Brain Machine.
We have 8 calls on the line, not 7, on the line, 212-209-2950. And again, let me remind people, we have a limited number of staff down there. So if you get a ring and it doesn't pick up, doesn't mean we don't care. Doesn't mean we don't want to help out and take your pledge and send you a Brain Machine. It means that we're just overwhelmed. So just call right back, or wait 1 minute and call right back.
Conversely, if you have some time on your hands and you want to help answer the phones, come by.
Yeah.
We're in fundraising mode for the next few weeks, so anytime.
Is there any special restriction as far as security goes downstairs?
You have to have ID.
You have to have ID, and you just call up. They know how to call upstairs, I think, from downstairs.
Yeah, and if you're interested in becoming involved in that, call the same number, 212-209-2950. I think they can take down your name or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah. But for now, we like people to call and pledge for the Brain Machines. 212-209-2950. Always good to hear from our listeners and know they're out there. It looks like quite a few of them are out there tonight. And this is definitely a unique offering. Every fundraiser, we try to do something a little bit different. And I think with Mitch's help, we've succeeded this time as well. All right. So what else do we have to look forward to at the Maker Faire, Mitch? It takes place starting next Saturday? Not the one coming up, but...
It's a weekend of the 20th and 21st in Austin, Texas. It's the first time, it's the third Maker Faire, first time out of the Bay Area at San Francisco. And there'll be, I'm not sure how many people will be presenting, something like 100 people will have booths showing off the cool things that they've been working on. And maybe 10,000 people are going to show up, and a lot of presentations and demos. And I'm going to release the TV Be Gone kit there, along with L'Amour, Lady Ada. I've been field testing it at my local Best Buy, and it's really perfect right now, so we're ready to release that at the fair. I can turn off TVs with that from 30 yards away.
Mercy. My goodness, 30 yards away.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's kind of a fun and satisfying feeling. And I'm really interested to see what other cool things are going to be there by other people who will have booths as well. So if anyone is listening and is in Austin or is going to go to the fair, come on by my workshop and say hey.
And if you're not in Austin, it's not hard to get to. It's right in Texas, and a lot of airplanes go there and things like that. You can get some pretty good deals. It's well worth just coming down for the weekend and meeting some really cool people. Mitch, where in Austin is it being held?
You know, I don't have that information in front of me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
The county fairgrounds?
Is that what it is? County fairgrounds. Do you have a website, the official website or anything like that?
Makerfaire.com.
Well, yeah, how do you spell that?
MakerFaire.com.
Okay, well, not many people spell fair, FAIRE. That's why I ask like that. Okay.
Yeah, ye oldie kind of fair.
Exactly.
I've got a cool project, too, that I'm going to be borrowing some space in.
Tell us about your cool project, Redbird.
It's a neat little laser projector, home-built, costs less than $50, and it was just a cool little project. Mitch has seen videos of it, so we've discussed it.
Well, what does it do?
it projects a line of text. I'm hoping to have two lines by then, but maybe not if I don't have time. Uh-huh. But a line of text on, you know, a wall, and if you use a more powerful laser diode on a building, it's pretty neat.
Okay. Now, this sounds similar to the laser graffiti project that the graffiti research...
It's not as cool as their project. They use a projector that costs thousands and thousands of dollars. This is more of a hobbyist kind of cheapo thing, but...
Give us an example of the application. What would you use this for?
You know, I haven't really come up with any applications for it yet.
I'm sure we can help you with that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we can come up with...
Well, you can write things on buildings.
You can write things on buildings, on walls, and stuff like that, yeah.
Like, for instance, we have the Verizon building, which overlooks the Brooklyn Bridge. It's in Manhattan, and it's got just a wall on one side and a big Verizon logo. If you were to, say, in Brooklyn, project this thing and have the word, oh, I don't know, sucks, would it look like that? Would it say Verizon sucks
on the
building?
It would look like that, yes.
Nobody would be able to stop it?
Exactly.
Wow.
It's totally legal to shine light.
We're pretty dangerous. Look who's here. Not
I'm
Kevin.
Hoping it'll get there in one piece.
Not Kevin. What, are you cutting class? You're supposed to be in school now.
I might just be.
Hey, Kevin.
Well, hopefully nobody will find out about it, considering the fact that you're on a radio station.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good to see you. We have Mitch on the phone. And, well, Mitch, you, of course, not Kevin.
Yes, indeed.
We've been demoing the Brain Machine on the air, and we've been offering it on the air, and it looks like quite a few people are interested. For those just tuning in, Brain Machine, not Kevin, you built one of these things.
I did build one of these things.
And you experienced it.
Yes, I did, on the air.
On the air, and also not on the air, too. You were experiencing it for most of CCC camp, it looked like.
It's very true.
Can you describe in your own words what it was like?
Very relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of colors.
A lot of colors. And what, you just sort of sit back for what, how many minutes?
Is it 10 minutes?
10 minutes or so. And at the end, you feel at peace with the world, or you feel like you want to smash things up? What?
It's definitely the peaceful one.
Peaceful. Okay. Good. Now, how long did it take you to build it?
About 6 hours, but that's with helping 10 other people.
Oh, you were helping 10 other people, and you also managed to build one yourself?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you're going to be helping us build these things for the for the listeners that are calling in. But that's a firsthand testimony. And, of course, Mike, I saw you with this thing on your head.
Yeah, I haven't built one yet. But there's photographs of me, or one photograph at least, of me on the internet with this Brain Machine on my face. Uh-huh. And, yeah.
And you have an expression like I've never seen before.
That's true.
Wow. Beautiful. 212-209-2950. You, too, can join the ranks of Not Kevin and Mike and get your own Brain Machine, which you can use at any time, day or night, and experience all kinds of meditational bliss, I suppose. 212-209-2950. Again, we're only offering these during the show. And if you call up and pledge $100, you'll get it in kit form, which means you build it yourself. For $150, we build it for you, and you get a fully assembled Brain Machine ready to be turned on out of the box. 212-209-2950. We have three calls on the line, and we have room for more.
If you want to see photos of people wearing a Brain Machine, if you go to Flickr, which is FLICKR.com, and under Maltman23, that's my account there.
Could you spell that?
Maltman, MALTMAN, as in Mitch Altman.
Oh, I thought you like made malts or something. I was trying to figure out, is that your other life?
Well, you know, when I was in grade school, on our back of our T-shirts in gym class, we had to have our first initial and last name, and mine said Maltman, and everyone started calling me that until they realized that I liked it, and then they stopped. So, but I've stuck with it, and 23, of course, I just like 23s, so Maltman 23, and just do for keywords Brain Machine, and you'll see some really cool photos.
That's on Flickr.com. Who has Flickr.com with the E? Does anybody have that?
Oh, yeah, it's one of those scam sites that advertises to you and puts pop-ups up.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, I imagine the other Flickr really wants that site, but I guess they'll never get it. Oh, well. 212-209-2950. We have six calls on the line right now, and people are being overwhelmed. We have people to thank? Awesome. We have a whole list of people to thank here. Again, Brain Machines, 212-209-2950, off-the-hook T-shirts. It's all yours if you call us up in the next 10 minutes or so.
Can I say something about community radio?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I've been a supporter of community radio since I was a teenager. I lived in Urbana, Illinois, and we started a community radio station there, and we started it because of WBAI and Pacifica Network. that was started by folks way back in the 60s there. The thing, corporate radio was bad then. It's even worse now. It's just the same stuff everywhere you go all over the country. And there's no reflection back from that radio of anything of me in it. And I don't know about anyone else out there, but when I listen to radio, I want to hear something of me coming back to me, something I like, something that means something to me. And so that's why I helped start this station in Urbana, Illinois, where I went to school, and why I had my own station on it, and why I listen to it, and why I still support it, and am donating brain machines now, and have donated TV Begons in the past. So I encourage all of you to support this incredible resource we have. It's really amazing. This WBAI in New York, there's only a handful of others around the country, and if you can receive community radio, you're really lucky. Keep it happening.
I'm curious. You said that you started the station in Urbana, Illinois, because of WBAI. How did you guys hear about WBAI back then before the internet allowed streaming all over the world?
Oh, well, as a little kid, my parents would take me traveling with them, and I went to the New York World's Fair way back in 65, I think, is when I went. And I'm a little geek, so of course I listen to radio everywhere I go, and I'm looking for cool music or weird stuff that people are talking about, and there it was, WBAI, and it freaked me out.
Wow. I like to think that there are people doing that right now, and that in the future they're going to create all kinds of cool things and remember days like this. 212-209-2950. Join the family and support the radio station and get a really cool device in the process. 212-209-2950. We have people to thank.
We do. And I've also been asked to say again that if you have some time during this drive to come help volunteer, that would be really awesome.
Yes, because those people, poor people down there, they're running around trying to answer three phones at once. And I would help them, except I'm here. But bravo to those guys. Go ahead.
We want to thank Fred and Judy from Mamaroneck.
William from Greendale.
Matthew from Columbus.
We want to thank Junes, our friend.
Wow, is that the same Junes?
It's the same Junes.
Different Junes. Okay, cool. Thank you, Junes.
And Michael from Oakland Gardens.
And Joseph from South Salem.
South Salem where?
New York.
Okay.
Where's that?
New York is a default, right? We're broadcasting in
well,
New York.
Yeah, I guess New York would be a default, but still.
We also want to thank Jeff from Ridgefield, Connecticut.
Cool.
Susan from New York, New York.
Oh, what, you're out?
I'm out.
Oh, okay, you didn't distribute these evenly.
What are you going to do?
And go ahead.
John from the Bronx.
All right. And that's only a fraction of the people calling in, because they're still writing down names over there.
And there's always people who value their privacy so much they won't even let us say their first name on the air.
Those anonymous people, we love them as well. 212-209-2950. We only have a few minutes left. And then you won't be able to pledge for this. Yeah, it's that simple. We have, looks like, six calls on the line. People calling in wanting the brain machine or the Off the Hook t-shirt, or just wanting to support the radio station and give a vote of confidence to Off the Hook. It matters. The only reason we're here now, the only reason, is because of listeners like you who have called us in the past and kept the place going so we can continue to pay the rent on the Empire State Building to get the signal out to everybody, keep the lights on here, keep things
power
working.
Our 1.21 gigawatt transmitter.
Yeah, whatever. It sounds like a lot. reaching four states all throughout just by broadcasting and then on the internet as well. Incredible. 212-209-2950.
You say zero in the exchange and then O at the end.
What, are you going to nitpick what I say
I'm
now?
Just curious if there's a reason.
I can see why this this show's only an hour long, as we can stand in the same room with each other for only that amount of time. Six calls on the line. All right, we only have a couple of minutes left, so any final words from people as to why people should call in? Or
final? I don't know if there's anything more that I can add that we haven't said already, but this station, just to be repetitive, is really a resource, and we're really in some financial trouble right now.
Who isn't? We all are.
And you know, in this day and age, it would be a real problem if the station were to go away, because it is not something that I think could be created again. If WBAI somehow goes out of business or whatever, I don't think there will ever be an opportunity for a nonprofit like us to put just put hackers on the air on the FM dial in New York City. So 212-209-2950 is the number to call and make sure that we don't go out of business and we stay on the air.
But I know a lot of people disagree with many of the things that are on the air. I know there's all kinds of differing factions of both on and off air people. But in the end, none of it could exist without this place, and we have to work together to make sure that that remains above all else. We can bicker and fight until the end of civilization. That's, you know, we're always going to have that option, but we can't lose this place. And it's always something that's right at the doorstep. We fail to meet our budget. We don't do well, and it could all fall apart. So that's really up to you. That's up to our listeners, our real sponsors, the people who invest in the place. 212-209-2950. Remember, that's the reason to call in, and we'll get you as many cool things as we possibly can, the Brain Machine being one of the coolest things I think we've ever offered. For a pledge of $150, you'll get a fully assembled Brain Machine that will allow you to basically turn on and meditate and experience all kinds of interesting dimensions and things, all perfectly legal. For $100, you'll get it in kit form, and you build it yourself. And every pledge above 30 gets an off-the-hook T-shirt. And there's other things, too. If you don't like any of that, call 212-209-2950, pledge, and we'll find you something that you do like. Again, if you don't get an answer right away, call back. We'll keep the phone lines open as long as we possibly can so that we can offer you these amazing items. We've broken the $2,000 mark. It's time for the Personal Computer Show. Mitch, I want to thank you so much for your generosity, and we'll see you in Austin, Texas.
Cool.
All right. And please keep those phone calls coming in so that we get over the financial issues that are constantly facing us. All right. It's all about money, unfortunately. But in this case, it's also about quality, and we hope that people share that. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Out there.